Welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. I am your host, Namita Mahanama. Here, I bring you the synergistic utilization of Western and Eastern modalities to help you thrive in your wellness, to thrive in your mental health, to thrive in life, so that you can feel and be your best self in body, mind, and soul. Thank you for joining me. So, let's jump in together and thrive. So, hello, and welcome to the Thrive with Holistic Healing Co. podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Now, today's topic that I wanted to go over was, should I get a blood test if I have postnatal depression or PNDA or perinatal anxiety and depression? Now, I really did dive into this in the book, Shining the Light on PND, as I felt like it was an important topic to cover. And it's quite a reasonable question. And it is something that I often wondered myself, and even having recovered and coming through it. And as a health professional, it is something that I have often pondered. Now, it is never my place to demand anything from your doctor or healthcare provider. That isn't, you know, that isn't the purpose of this. It's more a food for thought, and it's one to perhaps consider. So if your doctor or health provider potentially brings this up, that it's a great topic. It's a great food for thought conversation point, and something that you might want to discuss with your GP or health provider as really being perhaps an option or something you can look into, whether it's now or in the future. So definitely, if you're pregnant or you're experiencing any symptoms of anxiety, depression, insomnia, anything that looks like postpartum depression or perinatal anxiety and depression, then definitely looking at a baseline blood sample to maybe check for an underlying health condition is one of the potentialities or one of the benefits of looking at your blood tests of it. So, for example, a doctor can definitely undertake differential diagnosis by looking at you in your entirety with all of your symptoms, your past medical history, your family history, everything. You know, again, it's not my space and place to discuss that. That's certainly the scope of practice of a GP. But things that may present could be something like hypothyroidism, so a low thyroid, or hyperthyroidism, which is an overactive thyroid. Now, hypothyroidism often can present with lethargy and fatigue and low mood and perhaps weight changes. Same with hyperthyroidism. Hyperthyroidism can affect sleep, where you have, you know, you're a lot more aroused and a lot more awake, and you could perhaps have weight loss. And that's something where certainly a blood test might be able to ascertain changes in thyroid function. And so that's an example of where differential diagnosis can come into play. Certainly, nutritional imbalances, so looking at, say, iron or B6, that may be something that, you know, low iron can make you feel fatigued. It might make you feel foggy in the brain. Low iron can make you feel perhaps very lightheaded, or it can be attributed to, yeah, just changes in mood. So that would be something that is worth considering and looking. And if we're looking at a baby that is taking all of your nutrients, and if we're looking at a postpartum period where you may have had more than expected blood loss, then it is something that may be worth warranting a further investigation. And so differential diagnosis. Now, this isn't necessarily to do with a blood test, but rather a doctor looking at perhaps other conditions that might be causing very similar symptoms. So alcohol or drug use or misuse, that's something where alcohol being a depressant, it can certainly change and alter the mood. It can often precipitate anxiety. It can definitely affect sleep quality and the capacity and ability to sleep well. So that is something that a doctor can look into further. Perhaps there's more, or there's an underlying condition that is contributing or precipitating certain anxiety and depression symptoms. So that is certainly another food for thought. And also looking into effects or adverse effects or side effects, whatever you want to call it, of certain medications. Now, sometimes you might have been on a medication for a period of time and not realized that it can alter your mood, or perhaps you've been on a short course of certain treatment that may affect mood. And so again, perhaps chatting with your pharmacist and chatting with your GP about certain use of medication, that is something to look into. So for example, a corticosteroid, if you were on it for a certain period of time, whatever it may be, if you had an exacerbation of any kind of a condition, asthma or eczema or some kind of immune-related condition, that can certainly affect or bring upon other side effects. So that is something that I would consider and look at underlying reasons. And so this is where having a discussion with your GP and being open and honest about the whole picture, every single symptom that's happening, when it started, and in relation to perhaps supplements you've tried, changes in your lifestyle, there could be something that we just need to piece the puzzles together, and it may just make sense. And that is if there's something underlying. So that certainly is why I feel this particular topic is important, because we do need to look at the biopsychosocial aspect of a person. We cannot just look at one aspect. And so there's lots of different arms to make up that triangle. And that's where I'm very much passionate. And I've spoken about this perhaps in a previous episode, or certainly in the book that I wrote, is that even as a small child, I used to draw this triangle, and I would put mind, body, and spirit or soul, and I would write on each aspect my goals for the week of how I would foster or harness or help myself in each of these aspects. For example, body, it would be, you know, exercise daily, or go for a run every day, drink 2 liters of water, or whatever it was. But obviously they weren't going to be as educated as, you know, they are now, whatever I had written back then. Mind, it would be, I want to read 2 books a week this week, or, you know, I want to listen to this podcast, or whatever it was at that thing. But anyhow, my point being is that I've always recognized the way that our body, mind, and soul works together. And so I love the biopsychosocial aspect of looking at a person, because we cannot ignore one component only look at one particular component. So this is where certainly we need to look at perhaps underlying physiological conditions, look at certain medications, certain things or factors that might be contributing, that might be making it worse. And so things may not just be happening in isolation. Something to consider, something to perhaps chat with your doctor if and when, you know, you both feel comfortable. Also in my book, certainly my pharmacological background, it definitely harnesses my scientific thinking. So I always want to know about perhaps what the predisposing factors are for why some people get postnatal depression and others don't. You know, I often wondered upon my recovery, why me? You know, I didn't actually have any real shout out predisposing factors to really make myself a candidate for it once, let alone twice, and exactly in the same way. You know, exactly on day 5, it ferociously got me, and exactly at week 11, I sparked back to life. So how? What was it? What was it exactly? And so I personally, whilst I'm not an academic in terms of research or PhDs or doing anything in the academia space and research, I'd love to speak to someone who is actually in that space to know where research is happening, because I'd love to, I guess, see that there's investment and investigation essentially into what biochemical or nutritional imbalances are present that may predispose a woman into having postnatal depression. And can these things be screened? Can they potentially be supplemented in hope of preventing or at least minimizing the impact of it happening? I mean, how revolutionary would that be for our future women, really, if we can actually nut down, hone down, really pinpoint exactly what may be predisposing certain individuals into presenting with postnatal depression. Now, the reason why I'm so passionate is because it's not like a common cold where, you know, a chew, yes, you might feel really fatigued and, you know, you might not have the energy and capacity to do certain things for, say, 10 days or 2 weeks. I mean, people's lives are hanging on the thread here. So for me, I can't just sit back and think, oh, one day someone will fix it. I would love to advocate. I'd love to look into what exactly is happening, why it's happening, what are these nutritional deficiencies or biochemical deficiencies. Can we check for them? Can we prevent it from happening? Can we, you know, I know that there are perhaps environmental factors that can predispose people for it that certainly doctors can be aware of and mindful of, certainly. But in terms of, say, for instance, my example where I didn't have any really standout things, but it still happened, it does. It just makes me wonder what had happened. And I guess it also, what led me to thinking this was after I'd had Kayan, my second, who's now four, I did actually get a lot of testing done with an integrative GP. So I had quite a few biochemical tests done, really, I guess, to see what was happening and really nut out, you know, I wanted to feel my best self. And, you know, it really, it certainly did shine the light on certain nutritional, deficiencies and perhaps precursors that may have predisposed me to postnatal depression. Now, I'm never going to know because I'm not having any more children. So I can't test out the theory and I'm too scared and I will not go there to test out my experiment. I did an experiment between the one pregnancy to the next. I changed every variable that I knew at the time. The exact same thing happened, but I'm not game enough to try the third time. So I'd love to do or see some clinical research in other people. Now, what my tests showed, and I have written about this well and documented this in the published book. And so I was found to have low magnesium and low zinc and low iodine and low choline. I was found to have low B6, low selenium, gluten intolerance, two mutations of the MTHFR gene, which is the methylation ability of B group vitamins, pyrouria. Now, this is where the body produces excess pyroles, which can affect the absorption of zinc and B vitamins. Now, this actually is extremely contentious in the medical field. So I say this with a grain of salt. It was something that simply was in my blood test report from an actual trained integrative GP. It's not something that I've made up. It's something that was given to me by a trained physician. I was shown to have low tryptophan, estrogen dominance, low morning cortisol, low GABA, and two strains of bacteria within my gut from a stool sample. Now, that's a lot. Even looking at this now, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, wow, that's a lot. And I'm not even sure that I have supplemented these properly, really, to be honest. I kind of, again, in a previous episode, episode 19, where I'm chatting about consistency, this is one of those examples where I start my supplements. And so I don't actually know where I am currently at. However, because I am turning over this new leaf and going to do it for 2 to 3 months, I'll probably need to reassess how I'm feeling at that point after I've taken my supplements again. Anyhow, I digress. So those particular items or biochemical markers, I mean, they weren't what my obstetrician and GPs were looking for at the time when I was pregnant. They weren't. That wasn't their priority in my antenatal times. So, you know, I do wonder, what about screening perhaps my serotonin levels or noradrenaline, dopamine during perhaps pre-pregnancy versus pregnancy to postpartum? Would it have changed? Would it have shown anything? Would it have made a difference? Would it have perhaps highlighted a predisposition to it? Could it have been prophylactically treated? I'm not sure. Anyway, there's lots of questions. All I'm left with after my whole recovery process is a whole lot of questions. And so I'd love to, you know, speak with people in the research spectrum and area, because I feel like there's so many questions that we need to know. The other question, if a, you know, a clinical researcher is listening to this, another really thing, a big thing that I'm really interested in is the correlation between postnatal depression or perinatal anxiety and depression and its correlation with menopause. The change in hormone that happens, is it comparable between this change of pregnancy to breastfeeding? Now, I was told by my doctor at the time when I recovered with Kayan, my second, that the change from pregnancy to breastfeeding, there's a 100-time drop in hormone levels. And so that for me, when my milk set in, that is what set off this trajectory of my symptoms. And so I'm curious as to if that's 100 times the level in drop, what is the drop between premenopause, perimenopause, and menopause? What the gradient changes there? And I wonder, are those women that have postnatal depression, are they more predisposed to having anxiety and depression symptoms in menopause again? I mean, that's something, not that I live in an aspect of fear, but there's question marks. There are absolutely question marks. And then it goes back to perhaps if there's nutritional deficiencies, is that something that if we correct, are we going to reduce that predisposition? Anyhow, lots of questions, lots of food for thought. And perhaps, again, if you're listening and you know of any clinical trials that are happening and there's research results and there's things that are available, please share them with me. I would absolutely love to hear what's happening. I'd love to see how this whole area unfolds, because it is something that is an unknown. And in 2022, I feel like I don't know that they need to be unknown anymore. I would love for them to know. Is it something that I just need to accept? Is this just my individual makeup? Is this perhaps something that just is what it is, what it is? Sorry to interrupt your Thrive podcast. I just wanted to hop on quickly and talk about my children's book, My Mummy After Our Baby. Proceeds of the profits will be donated to the Gidget Foundation, which is a not-for-profit organisation that does amazing work in perinatal mental health within Australia. I wrote this book because when I fell ill with postnatal depression after having Kayan, my eldest son Ari had absolutely no idea what had happened to me and what carnage had ripped through our home, and we had no capacity to delicately explain it. It is a gentle, soft, and emotive way to explain PND affecting the home, but gives the most important message of hope for this child to hold on and that their mummy will get better. It is a bonding and connective tool that in itself can be so healing for the family, and certainly one that I wished I had access to. I believe that it should be part of every family's toolkit if they find themselves being the 1 in 7 women who have postnatal depression. It is available now at www.holistichealingco.com, and I hope that it brings hope and healing within your home or the home of a loved one. Now, back to the episode. Now, another resource that I discuss a lot in my book, Shining the Light on PND, is Dr. Oscar Sarilac's Postnatal Depletion Cure. And I heard of this doctor on Melissa Ambrosini's podcast. I love listening to her podcast. And his book, I've read the book and I listened to that episode. And he's a doctor, and he actually saw changes in his wife after their children were born, and actually countless number of women that came to his clinic as well. And so I definitely love reading about his teachings and his findings. And what he found was that certain nutritional imbalances actually had an impact or implication on energy and this feeling of vitality and healing post-birth. And a lot of his findings actually reflected a lot of what I saw in my own biochemistry and what I almost saw within myself. So that is something that if you have piqued any interest in anything that I've mentioned, that book is very, very good. I definitely enjoyed reading that. And there is a wealth of information there about it. Now, it's postnatal depletion cure because he's talking about actual nutritional imbalances that can make a mother feel depleted. And whilst in terms of postnatal depression, it's a certain time period or time stamp that in terms of diagnosis, you know, they may not fit that particular mold or that particular cutout, but certainly they're not feeling their best selves. So anyhow, certainly I'll link that in the show notes. And that was an amazing resource that I came across as well. And in my studies of Ayurveda, so as an Ayurvedic lifestyle consultant, I learned that the Vata dosha, which is made up of this air and space aspect or elements, and so that gets essentially imbalanced, or there's increased air and space after you've given birth. So imagine your womb space is now open, the baby's been birthed, and so there's you're left with this big space. And the Vata dosha is the biggest dosha, or the king or the queen of the doshas within our body, that really they can affect very quickly the other systems in the body as well. But symptoms of Vata imbalance, so once you've had your baby, if they're not balanced, if we haven't rejuvenated and we haven't come back to essentially this harmony or this homeostasis or this equilibrium, whatever you want to call it, even up to 5 to 7 years after having a baby, you can still be out of harmony. And so with Vata, which is to do with the nervous system, it's also to do with movement. You're thinking of symptoms like insomnia, irritability, anxiety, depression, so changes in the mood, this stretched nervous system, increased sensory overload, the ears are a house of Vata. And so, you know, this sensory overload, if it's too noisy, your babies are crying, it can be a sign of this imbalance. And really, Dr. Sarilac in his book as well mentioned that patients were coming or presenting 5 years after having a baby with the symptoms. And so because it had passed that 12-month period, it's not considered postpartum anymore. And so I found that fascinating. I found it fascinating that he was speaking about the same time frame that Ayurveda does as well. And so anyway, that was just something that was interesting to me. Anyhow, so my hope really here is that we can pave the way forward for more clinical trials to really find the potential gaps within our biochemistry and our nutritional health. And my hope essentially would be to help restore to optimum levels and to minimize its occurrence in the first place. And so whilst I can't and I won't demand anything from your doctor, that's not the purpose of any of these podcast episodes. It's simply to really shine the light on the condition, to unveil it, to strip it apart in all the ways that I know how, in all the questions that I had from my own lived experience. And as a clinician, trying to think with my scientific mind that perhaps being able to help in a way that hopefully can minimize its impact on women in the future, minimize its impact on you if you're listening to this, that would make me feel like I'm actually giving back to the world. It would make me feel like I'm being of service because I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to just be sitting here talking about the problem or whinging or being a victim. I want to be part of the solution because I want to help minimize the pain and suffering of anyone else who's in this condition. And I don't want others to be silenced in their pain and suffering anymore. I want there to be leaps and bounds in growth and development and advancement in this area, because in 2022, I would love to see in 10 years' time for things to be so incredibly different. I would love for my nieces, when they have children, for there to be no question of what's happening, for it to be so definitively clear for them at that juncture, for them to be so able to use their voice and so able to not hide in shame and taboo and the stigma that, you know, I certainly felt. And so that's where my passion lies, and my passion lies in trying to be part of the solution. So really my take-home message here would be is if you are a mother enduring postnatal depression, you have a healthcare team, maybe have this conversation with them if you're open to it, if they're open to it. Having that open narrative, I believe, will be very, very pivotal here. For any researchers that are listening, I would love to hear from you in terms of what can we do to strip this apart even better, to make this so much more foolproof. That would be my ultimate goal and vision. My mindful moment for you this week is that if you are experiencing anxiety and depression, I want you to list, and it's going back to this differential diagnosis, where I want you to list absolutely all of your symptoms. What makes them better? What makes them worse? Perhaps listing down all your past medical histories and seeing if any of those sorts of information can help piece the puzzle together. And so I'm a strong advocate for observation. And so what might seem silly and innocuous, like feeling dizzy when you stand up, or if you feel worse when you're bleeding heavily, or that you get your cycle every so often, or, you know, just very minor details that might feel minor and innocuous to you, it may give your healthcare team more information. It might give them full information of you in your entirety to look at potential, perhaps, root causes when they're reviewing you. And if you're someone perhaps that's having symptoms and you haven't quite yet had the opportunity yet to speak with a healthcare team, I would really want to encourage you to speak with your healthcare team, your GP. Your GP would be your first point of call, and I would give you all the permission, and I give you the strength and the courage to be able to speak up and use your voice and walk towards your recovery. And when you do go there, to really bring with them every single vital bit of information that you can, because they're almost like detectives. And if you give them every single clue, every single fact, they can look at you as a whole and really help you holistically. And so that is my ultimate wish for you. Anyhow, I've gone on a bit of a tangent, but I just wanted to say that wraps up today's episode, and I really wanted to thank you for joining me. I hope you've taken something away from this, and until next time, have an amazing, amazing week. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, it would be so amazing if you could leave a review, subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a thing, share this resource and my Holistic Healing Co. website, where you will find all of the episodes and show notes, as well as share my social media to your friends and to all those who would benefit from its content. I hope you have received a beautiful takeaway to help you thrive, and I look so forward to joining you again next week.